We spoke last time about loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a natural place, not from an external forced place, not from a place where you think it makes sense that you should love, but rather it's something which even when you're in troubled times, even when you're being tested, and it's not that Hashem is blessing you with everything that makes you feel comfortable, but rather you're in a time where it's easy to say, Hashem, why are you doing this to me? It just proves you don't love me. And Hashem, don't I do mitzvahs? Aren't I learning your Torah? Because I'm doing everything from you. Why are you giving me back bad with good? Punishing me? At those times, it's much harder to truly feel a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a person, if he doesn't have a clear pattern of thought in his mind, how he responds to this hashkafic question of how could it be that I love Hashem and he's still harming me, then he will feel thought against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Sefer Yesharim says, Yesh l'adam l'ashiv al atzmo shtei tshuvot. Achad mehem shaveh l'kol nefesh. L'ashmiya l'chachamim ba'alei daya ha'amukah. There are two answers that we can give. The first answer is something which everybody can relate to. And the second answer is for people who have depth of thought. Hayachad. First answer is, Kol mai da'avdin min shamaya letav. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is ultimately for the good. Meaning you have a misunderstanding. What you're interpreting as bad is not bad. Just from your perspective it looks bad. Mashal l'mahadav adomeh. This is a beautiful mashal based on the Sefer Tanya. There's a person who's 4 or 5 years old and they force him to sit in a physics class of the university, and it's extremely frustrating for him because he doesn't understand anything that's going on, but they're testing him as well and all these formulas and he has to learn all these letters equal other letters with little numbers on top, so he doesn't understand what it means or what it represents. And you know, 3 years of university, so he's 6 and he's 7 years old, is remembering and memorizing all these things without having any, not to say that all the physics students understand exactly what they represent, but he's a little boy, has no way of fathoming, it's impossible for him. It's a way beyond the size of his brain or the capability of his brain to understand. He gets very frustrated and very up. So, life's not perfect. Then he himself one day decides to go into the world of physics. And there are many things that to everybody else are really hard. But because he knows all the formulas off the heart, he just knows them all. Right? So it's things that you learn, years of the Yankuta, the things that you train yourself to learn when you're younger, they just stick with you. So he comes into the physics class, and he's so way ahead of everyone, that instead of having to like, spend time on what does this mean, and what does that represent, and what equals what, he just like, immediately seems to explain, makes sense, and he's able to get way ahead of the rest of the class. And then he looks back and he says, you know, at the time, I did not appreciate how that was good. Because my scope was limited. My ability to fathom what these numbers mean and represent, I didn't have any clue what it was. And therefore I was frustrated and felt angry and felt disappointed and I wanted to blame. But now, when I have a broader perspective, I understand how tremendously beneficial that information at that time was. Because now that my mind is expanded, I'm able to use that information. When we are here in this world, we're looking through a very limited lens. We only have a fraction of the picture. And when things happen to us that don't fit into our vision of how things are supposed to be, we get very frustrated. Hashem, why did you do this? Doesn't make sense. Sometimes you get a gift where you wanted it to go one way, it didn't go that way, and you see why it was best it didn't go that way. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes. But often not. Now a person's a Baal Emunah, he won't be hoping, okay, that plane I missed, I hope it crashes. just to prove that it was like, Chesed Hashem that I missed the plane. He doesn't think that. He says, I hope everyone gets there safely. And I don't know if I will figure out why I missed the plane, but I know that was the will of Hashem as long as I was acting normally and responsibly. The kol man da avid l'tav avid, or in the phrase he's quoting here, kol man da avid min shamay l'tav, it's humility. Don't be arrogant and think that you already know the full picture. Recognize that what you have now is a limited view. It's like the child who was in kindergarten learning physics. He had a limited capability to understand it. But know that just like that child, as you move on, as you develop, is able to look back and recognize how it was actually very beneficial for him what happened there. So when you get to the next world and you see how that was challenging and that was difficult and that was hard and that was against your will at the time, you will see exactly how that was the most perfect response that you wished HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you in that case. And the fact that you can't see it now is just an expression of your infinity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinity. But that doesn't mean it's any less good. That's an answer which everyone can relate to. Doesn't mean everyone absorbs. Doesn't mean everyone has transformed their way of thinking to. But it's possible for anyone to contemplate that. And you could say that to anyone at any level. When they're busy hurting, they probably won't be able to hear you. When they're not hurting, like this forum here where everyone's neutral, you could hear this message well, you could imbue the emunah, and then if it happens in one's life, they suffer, they can say, you know, I'm humble enough to say, I don't know. I'm humble enough to say, I've got this broken, that's what he's doing, more than I know what I'm doing. And I told this story once, I love this story. It was a Talmud of the Kotzke Rebbe. And in Kotzke, everything was emes. And this Talmud, he had some suffering in his life. He didn't understand why Hashem was doing it to him. And basically the Kotzke Rebbe wanted to say to him, Kol Man Da'aved Min Shamay L'Tav. He probably knew that phrase already. And the godless Hasidus is where they would find some like vort, where it says something you already know, but through the vort, through the chiddush, through the and through that way, you are able to imbue the message in a much deeper way. That's the godless of the chassidish of vort. Often they say a story which, so what did he say? He said it's for the best. So what changed? Well, you have to travel on a horse and cart to another town for him to say it's for the best. Remember, the way he said it, the way he gave me this mashal and he gave me a vort of chazal and he twisted around a word to me something else and then that's what it was. Because then it's much deeper and I recognize it in a deeper way. So what are the Kotzkeres do? He said to him, do you learn Gemara Shetosis? Gimel Pei Taf, that's how they say it in his words. I never knew what it was referring to. In the Hasidic words, they want to say Gemara Pei Rosh Rashi Tosfos. They say Gimel Pei Chik Chik Taf. Gemara Pirush Rashi Tosfos. So he said, yes. He says, and do you understand every Tosfos that you learn? And he said, we're going to spot that a little bit. No, I don't understand everything. So when you get to a Tosfos and you're stuck, then does that mean the Tosfos doesn't know what he's doing? And then the Kotzker starts quoting him. Kotzker Baruch Hu doesn't love me. Kotzker Baruch Hu doesn't know what's good for me. Kotzker Baruch Hu doesn't know what he's doing. So when you get stuck on Tosfos, does that mean the Tosfos doesn't care and doesn't understand and doesn't know what he's doing? He says, no. Tosfos is much cleverer than I am. I just didn't understand the Tosfos, but there's someone out there who understands it. I go to them, they explain to me, and then I get it. So the Kotzker says to him, so his Tosfos is always right. And the Kotzker Baruch Hu also can also be wrong. Brilliant. Like, he in his life experience already had a model of knowing there's someone who knows more than him and having humility towards that. He had that already, the model. He had it. What the Kotzker did was say, you already know this concept. The Kotzker Baruch was even greater. Of course the concept applies to him as well. Kilifloin. That's Shavel Kol Nefesh. That's something with that concept, if you absorb it and you understand it, or if someone brings the understanding of it even after the fact, then you will never in your life be frustrated. Can you imagine? You will never in your life be frustrated. You will build a house, and you will build a community, and you will put all of your energy into making an area which has over 10,000 people living there, with streets and roads and shuls and houses and sephetura and parks and everything. And then one day, you put in your maximum effort to hold on to it, but some anti-Torah oriented people will come along and they will say, we want to have peace with the Arabs, and we believe that if you give God to them, then they will say, oh, you like us so much, you must be friendly to us. We'll be friendly to you as well. So we will give them a gift of giving Gaza back. And uproot the work of 10,000 people and homes and shuls for the value of peace. Which was evident immediately afterwards how valuable it was. So then the people walk away from there. And what do they say? They say, Hashem, we invested our life, our blood, our flesh, our money, everything. It's what we understood to be your will. But now if it changes direction, we'll build somewhere else. And they go to new areas. They go to Yad Binyamin, and they go to Shomriya, and they go to the Beit Kalim where we were last few Fridays ago, those who were there. And they're building new homes, and new yeshivas, and new roads. And is there resentment? Maybe by some people there is. But by the Balei Emunah, they say, all we want to do is the will of Hashem. If we think this is the will of Hashem, we'll invest everything in that direction. And it wasn't a mistake. It was not a mistake. That was the will of Hashem. If Hashem has a different plan, which I don't understand, and he changes us and says, okay, now I want you to work over here. So I'll go work over there. Does it mean it was a mistake? Not at all. I'm doing the will of God's prayer in one direction. Hashem changed my direction. I'll go in that direction. Totally fine. That's Balei Emunah. What Balei Emunah is that? In parentheses, I was so inspired by the Emunah of those communities. So when my son was born a month later, that happened on Yud Aleph Av, and Hanani was born Yud Dalet Elo, just over a month later. The main reason that we called him Hanania, secondary reason was we were looking for names with Elo. And Rachman just sounds too far different. So we're looking for Chanu. Hanania was Chanu. But that was the secondary reason. But the main reason why I called him Hanania was because in Tanakh, Hanania had that same message. Hanania Mishael Azariah had the same message. They stood before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Nebuchadnezzar is taking us to the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, I'm going to throw you in the fire and that will prove that God doesn't save you, And they said, maybe Hashem won't save us. Might be. But that doesn't take away an iota from our emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the right thing to do, we won't bow down to idols. I was so amazed by that. That emunah, that it doesn't have to be your way. You don't control Hashem. You don't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think the way to serve you is such and such. And if it works out that the way that it works out historically is such and such, then that will prove that you are correct. And if not, then it didn't fit into what I thought was their real emunah, so it must be that you're not correct. Wait, one second. You define the terms of what emunah in Hashem is, and then you say you don't believe in Hashem because it didn't fit into your terms, maybe take Hashem's terms. And if Hashem doesn't fit into his terms, you can say I don't believe in Hashem. But you can't define Hashem by your terms. So the Hananiah Mishnah Azariah says, we don't control Hashem. Maybe Hashem has a bigger plan. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. Even if he burns us, we were still correct because our Emunah Hashem was still correct. You are not the God above him even if we die. He is the God above you even if we die because it's not kashur. If he determined the rules. I was so inspired by that. And that brought me directly to what happened in Gush Katif. Those people said, Hashem, we are doing the will of Hashem. We recognize this is the will of Hashem. To learn Torah and build up the land of Eretz Yisrael. And if it's all uprooted and destroyed, doesn't mean it was a mistake. It means that Hashem didn't want it to happen over there. If it would be written in the Torah that it's a wrong thing, that's something else. But it's written in the Torah that the Yerushalayim should come back and return to the land and rebuild the land and make Jewish homes and that. Torah concept. So we're doing that. It's a mistake. I'll go do it somewhere else. That's Emunah Shlema. Emunah Shlema. What's Emunah Lot Shlema? When you define the Emunah dependent on something. That's not Shalem. Because it's dependent on something else. Right? If this happens, then I'll have Emunah Hashem. Emunah Shlema is I'm going to fulfill the will of Hashem and even if it doesn't suit what I want it to work out, Emunah Shlema, I have full Emunah. So that answer is Shaveh Lekol Nefesh.
If it turns out that it wasn't what was supposed to be done, is that still in retrospect to what Hashem wanted? Meaning,
if what you were doing was according to Halacha, and it was the right thing to do according to Halacha, meaning you were following the Torah, you're keeping Halacha, it was the right thing to do, then
Hashem changed his mind?
No, he didn't change his mind. It was right to do until that point. Your car is stolen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined, from an Emunah perspective, HaKadosh determined that car was supposed to be your car until that point. You used it well, now it's stolen. Okay, so it's someone else's there. If you do a mitzvah and then you're stopped midway, doesn't mean that you don't get credit for the mitzvah you did. Now Hashem changed his mind, it was good until then. Now Hashem had a different... The Jews who were learning in yeshiva in Poland before the war, doesn't mean it was a mistake. It was very good until that point. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu had a different plan for Am Yisrael. What was his plan? We can't say exactly. So we know this. That round of the Hashkacha ended there. There's a new round that will take new forms in Keren Byavna and in Lakewood and in Gateshead. New forms of where it will take expression. But there, it's stopping. Doesn't mean it's a mistake until that point. That's Emunah Shleim. And that Emunah is an Emunah which anyone can relate to just to be humble. Just to be humble and say that you don't determine Hashem, He determines you. Just to be humble. So not everyone's humble. But everyone can. You don't have to be a Chacham for that. Even a simple person without depth of thought can say Hashem knows more than me. Derech Agav, someone said to me the other day, when I grew up, they told me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. Everyone else in the world does. It was a powerful statement. Because people have this mindset where they have to be perfect. And they have to do everything correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make a mistake. The Holocaust happened, it wasn't a mistake. And if Gush Katif happened, it wasn't a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. People can make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. And then he said that there was someone who was very arrogant, or not someone, but like a kind of a group who was very arrogant. And he said, that was before I met this group, so I didn't realize he was making a joke. That was inappropriate. וזה כי אפילו השר ההוא והדוחה כנראה בעיניו רעות איננו באמת אלא טובה אמיתית. Because even if you're going through pain, and even if you're going through suffering, and even if you can't talk properly, and it looks to you like it's a bad thing, Hashem, I'm trying to teach your Torah. All I'm trying to do is say, Mitzvah Sharim, why don't you give me a clear voice? It's bad. איננו באמת אלא טובה אמיתית. It's actually very good. Maybe the good here is you're showing you're willing to give devotion to Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if it's not easy for you, maybe, but there's some other reason. Let's say I couldn't speak at all. Maybe I was going to speak Lashon Hara. That Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me the loss of voice that I wouldn't say the Lashon Hara. You never, I don't know. No one knows his calculation. It's like toaster. And more. But you don't know his calculation. But even what looks to you like it's painful is because you're looking from a limited perspective. That he has a greater vision than you have. He gives a different mashal to the ones we've given. Kemashal ha-rofeh ha-chotech ha-davasar o ta'iver ha-nifsat kadesh yavri shar ha-guf ha-lo yamut. Someone's lying on the operating table and the kid is looking through the window. The kid of the person lying on it. And a doctor comes with a saw. Probably a more refined instrument. A saw. And this child sees this doctor taking the saw and starting to saw away at the father's leg. my wife's grandfather, my son is named after Yeshaya, second name, Hanani Yeshaya, at the end of his life in Cape Town, he had to have his leg amputated. So I went to Rav Rivlin, who was a Rishkiach at the time, and I asked him to please daven and have an operation today, and he said, will he include him? Yishayahu ben Moshe. The priest included him in his tefillah. He said to me, Lama Makara? So he said, as I said, they're taking off his leg. So he went into panic. He said, what? I go into shock. So I said, well, when he heard that it was happening, he said, well, that means I'm 1 foot in the grave. And I remember him burst out laughing. I said in English, he still burst out laughing. That was his humor. Yishayahu ben Moshe ala wasalam. So what looks to this kid like they're sawing off his leg, it looks terrible, and he sees his mother there not doing anything. He sees some other doctor there not doing anything. And then there's a policeman, he calls, police, look, stop them. And that's all good, it's all good. Are you all crazy? Have you all got out of your mind? No, child, you have a limited mind. We can see the bigger picture. We can see this for his benefit. I don't like that muscle so much. Because that's still bad. It's just stopping a small bad so it won't become a bigger bad. That's that mashal. But the mashal of the physics is the pele. Because The thing itself is good. What you're learning is good. It's helping you understand. Just that you're not able to understand how it's good. But if the thing itself is what's helping you to do good. Even if from your current perspective it looks cruel, chopping off a leg, but the doctor's act, we're not talking about this from the person's perspective. From the person's perspective it's just a little bad to prevent the big bad. But from the doctor's perspective it's absolute goodness. That's where he's bringing it from. Let me take the shot. From the doctor's perspective it's, I'm doing you a tova. The doctor's not saying I'm doing you a bad. I'm doing you a tova. I'm saving your life. It's rachamanut, be'emet, lahativo ba'achvito. Ela adarabah. The person himself has an operation, he will pay the doctor and buy him chocolates and give him flowers and phone him and thank him for saving his life. And the child is saying, Abba ishtagata, you're sending money to the person who cut off your leg? He says, yes, because I'm only here today to talk to you about it because he cut off my leg. So from a limited perspective it looks bad, from a godly perspective it looks good, because someone's only in the next world. So that's point number one. And that point number one is Shavelek on this. Hashem is for a next opportunity we have to see that the idea which is from a higher perspective.